In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text, our Old Testament reading, Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Holy Scriptures are replete. They are full of metaphors, rich, beautiful, glorious metaphors describing the work of a pastor and the pastor himself. Now, I'm going to focus on two just briefly that you use. Pastor. From the Latin into the Greek, poimen, which means shepherd. That is, take care of my sheep. John 21, Peter, Simon, do you love me more than these? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Give them the voice of their good shepherd that they may know their good shepherd who leads them to springs of waters and refreshes their soul. Here's another one. John 13 and 20, pastors are called, and I hear some of you call me your minister. Minister is the word for servant, right? And so the idea here is that a servant of God, a minister, is to be loving and dutiful and faithful. No task is too low. No thing or situation menial, and no people ever too messy to get near and to serve with the suffering servant who gave his life as a ransom for all things. Now, there are other metaphors, of course. This time of year, your mind might drift to the sower and the farmer. Maybe the herald and the messenger. Everyone has its own rich and glorious and beautiful scriptural reference. And then there's this one. Ezekiel 33. The watchman. The watchman is not as rich and not as glorious and not as plentiful. It doesn't conjure up in your mind all sorts of beautiful images of rich pastors. No, pastures. The watchman is actually, first and foremost, a rather terrifying image, a grim image, a sorrowful image. Son of man, God says to Ezekiel, I have set you as a watchman on the house of Israel. That is, I've set you on the walls of my city, and you are to watch for the enemies. And when the enemies come at you, you are to sound the alarm from the impending danger. Sound the alarm, Ezekiel. Now, the alarm isn't a bell, and it's not a shofar or a ram's horn or trumpet. No. Son of man, whenever you hear a word from my mouth, the Lord says, you shall give it my people warning from me. If I give you a word and you fail to speak that word and that wicked person continues in that wickedness, guess what? That person's going to die in their sin. And guess what? The blood of that person I'm going to require at your hands. You shall die too. Whoa, so much for the green pastures and life of this metaphor. This metaphor, it is grim and it is terrifying that God speaks through his watchman. But certain situations in this life require warning, dear people of God. Missiles fly from Iran to the Jordan. The U.S. missile systems detections go off. 8 missiles are destroyed and soldiers are spared. There are hurricanes, tropical storms like Dolly that head toward the coastland. The NOAA advanced warning systems go off. People are alerted. Lives are spared. The same is true for earthquakes and tornadoes, tsunamis, fires, and in our midst, a little bit of blizzards. Now, I don't want to dwell too long and too hard on meteorologists. After all, is what the whole premise of a meteorologist is that you could get paid for being right half of the time and wrong half of the time. So I don't want to go there with it. All I want to say is simply this. Warnings matter, and they matter so much that they're a matter of life or death. And so God appoints pastors. He appoints his watchmen in part to sound the warning, to sound the alarm. Pastors are to stand on the wall and they are to look at the hilltops and the trees and the silhouettes on the horizon and to sound the alarm as the enemies come at the gates. Look out, Here comes the banners and the sickles of our great enemy, death. They come at you with weapons, illness and disease and suffering and hopelessness and sadness and endless despair and deep loss. Watch out, dear people of thy God, watch out. Here comes the seductiveness of sin wanting to wrap its tentacles around you like an octopus. Do not be drawn into sexual immorality or theft or murder or coveting or wickedness or deceit or sensuality or envy or slander and pride. Look out, this sin that's slinking toward the gate, it is not as harmless as you might think. Do not say to yourself for 1 minute, I got God, he's going to forgive me in the end. It doesn't matter whatever I do. God's going to forgive me, so I might as well do whatever I want to do and live my life however I want to live. So it's okay, Labor Day, I'll just go away. I'll skip church and go to the lake. It's okay, I'm going to take a break from God in the summer and not come to church in the summer because school's out. We all know we get a break from God when school's out. It's okay. It's okay to skip church for sports or music or sleep or something else. It's okay to live together before marriage, to engage in premarital sex, polyamory, homosexuality, polygamy. It is okay to engage in holding a grudge. It's okay to engage in transgenderism. It's okay to engage in gossip. All of these things are just natural to the world. So just go on and do it, because in the end, God's going to forgive you. In the end, everything will turn out okay. Right as rain. Watch out, the watchman says. Be on your guard. They are not harmless. They are harmful. Take heed lest you and I fall. There they are, coming. Do you see them? The false teachers, Jehovah's Witness, Islam, Mormonism, Taoism, Buddhism, Hinduism, they're slinking into the gates, even in Southeast North Dakota, seemingly undetected. These are the normal dangers, I warn you. But I wonder if you know the greatest danger. Look more closely on the hilltops and the horizons, dear people. Do you see it? The one greatest threat that stands against over all these, that dwarfs all of these, it is the holy, perfect, righteous God, the King himself, who comes to judge the living and the dead. And no sinner can stand in the presence of a holy God in and of themselves and live. He comes to judge the living and the dead. He will rule this world with his rod of iron. He will trample under the winepress the fury and wrath, or if you're in Australia, wrath, of the Almighty God himself. Fear him and tremble at his holy name. God has spoken this warning through his watchmen time and time again. Noah in the days of the flood, Abraham and Lot, Moses, all the prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Babylon, against Babylon and Assyria, all of these things, that the day of judgment is coming. And today he sends this watchman, red-headed, sinful jerk of a man though I am. I know. Bear with me. I too am a man under sin. I too am not holy and perfect. I too cannot stand before the judgment seat of my God in and of myself and live. I, like you, dear people of God, am a poor, miserable sinner. But this is the watchman God has given you to say, repent before it is too late. Fear and tremble at his holy name. O inhabitants of Zion, be warned. Say something. Speak. Sound the alarm. Go through the streets of Lidgerwood and sound this danger to the people out there as well, to a rebellious and sinful humanity, all of which stand under God's judgment. Surely this deserves a warning cry. See what I mean? This is not a pleasant image here, the watchmen. But there they are. They stand on the city walls. There's no telegraph. There's no smartphone. There's no texting. There's no internet in Jerusalem. No, not at this time. There's only the watchmen. Standing on the wall and down below them are the people. God stations these watchmen, of course, to warn you. But you do know that's not all these watchmen do, right? They don't just warn you of the coming judgment of God. They also speak a word of God's refuge to you. The one who stood at the on the wall and said to the people, "Watch out, repent," also said to you, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be on his shoulders, and you shall call his name Wonderful Counselor, Mighty Father, Everlasting God, Prince of Peace." There is a word of refuge from the watchman's mouth as well. For the same Jesus who arises from the throne to come to judge the living and the dead is the same one who in Matthew's gospel first came to seek and to save the lost. Because first and foremost, God does not desire the death of a sinner. God desires that you and I would turn to him and live. And so the righteous judge himself bore your judgment on that tree. He bowed his head to be crowned with thorns. He stretched out his hands that he might have your name engraved in his wounds forever. His side he offered up and his hands and feet as well. From the cross, dear people of thy God, here is God's judgment over you, dear repentant sinner. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The intercession of your righteous judge Jesus has taken the day of God's wrath and turned it from one of grim terror to one of endless joy and celebration. No longer do you see this God who comes to judge you and to send you into the fires of hell. Our Lord does not look to send you, O repentant sinner of God, to hell because he bore that hell on the cursed tree in the cross in love for you. Jesus has done it all. He has bore your sin. He has borrowed your death. And by his wounds, you are saved. You are healed. You are redeemed. Blessed are all who take refuge in this righteous judge. Blessed are you. You who were called a son of God. You who were marked with the cross on your forehead and on your heart. You who were baptized into his name, most holy. So look again, your watchman says to you. Look again at the horizon and see. There is no condemnation for you, O repentant sinner of God. There is no condemnation for you in Christ Jesus. God's word of judgment for you this day is this: I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. As far as the east is from the west, I have removed your sin from you. I have dealt with your sin, and you are mine. And I will raise you up on the last day. When I come in glory, I will take you by the hand. I will wipe every tear from your eyes. I will not say, depart from me into the fire. I will say, come with me, you who are blessed by my Father, and at long last inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. This too must be trumpeted by you, by me, dear saints of the living God. Go throughout the streets of Lidgerwood. Don't simply and only say, you're going to hell. To the repentant sinners, give them Jesus. Speak the name of the holy, righteous judge who is over them, over you. Lift up your heads this day. Do not sit there and say, oh, the watchman, I'm going to hell. Lift up your heads. Your redemption has drawn near. His name is Jesus Christ, the righteous and holy judge who comes to rescue you most perfectly, most holy by his blood. I suppose I could have saved you a lot of time today in the heat if I just would have said, the watchmen do this. In Lutheran language, they preach the law and they preach the gospel. I suppose I could have saved you all the time, right? But then you wouldn't have gained the beauty and the terror, the somberness and the joy of the watchman. So rather, let me do this. Let me hold these two in tension by fervently praying this way. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the watchman you have given us to warn us and to give us hope and refuge in you. Grant us to fear you, and fearing you, let us flee for refuge in the arms of your Son, Jesus Christ, high and lifted up, that we may long with hearts to see the day of his appearing. Give us eyes to see that day, and give us mouths as we step out of these doors to speak soberly and joyfully of that day. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.